Turn with me in your Bibles then to Romans and chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We're going to talk a lot this morning about righteousness. Righteousness. And before we do, we need to make sure that we're all on the same page. Because righteousness is one of those words that is used a lot and in a number of different ways. And different parts of the Bible use it in different ways. And when we use the word righteousness, sometimes we mean different things. So we need to make sure that we're all on the same page before we even start. So let me ask you this. What is righteousness? How would you define it? What is righteousness? Well, righteousness, it's being right. It's being right in the eyes of God. It's being morally pure. It's being good in God's sight, actually good, objectively good, perfect in the eyes of God. That's righteousness. And I want to ask you the same questions I asked the children earlier. How good or righteous is God? Well, he's perfect. He's perfectly good. He's totally perfect. There's nothing in him which is not perfectly good. He is 100% pure goodness and righteousness. It's not possible for him to be anything but pure, good righteousness. I want to ask you, how good do we have to be to go to heaven? How good do we have to be where God is? Well, of course, we have to be as good as he is. We have to be perfectly good. We have to be totally perfect too. I'm just getting us all on the same page before we start. There's a bonus question here that I didn't ask the children earlier. What if we're not good enough? What if we're not totally perfect? What if we aren't good enough for heaven? What if we're not righteous? What if our righteousness is not to the same level of God's righteousness? If we're not good enough for heaven, what happens to us? Well, I don't think I need to answer that for you, do I? If we're not good enough for heaven, if we don't go there, we can't stay here forever. We'll go to hell if we're not good enough. We go to hell if we're not righteous. And so the stakes are that high this morning. Now righteousness then is it's being perfect in the eyes of God. It's being completely as perfect as he is, good enough to share heaven with him. And what we're going to do this morning is talk about the wonderful mystery about how people like us can be made as perfect as God so that we can go there. Now, before we read Romans 10, verses 1 to 13, focus on these things. Paul is going to talk about two types of righteousness. He talks about, firstly, righteousness of my own, which is by the law. A righteousness of my own by the law. And secondly, he talks about the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus. So let's read Romans 10, verses 1 to 13. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does these things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith, the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or, who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's spend some time then looking at the first section, the first righteousness. This righteousness of my own, which is by the law. We have it there in verses 1 through 3. Now Paul, who wrote this letter, is a Jew. And although he's a Jew and grew up under Judaism, he was a Pharisee, he is converted to Christianity. That is, he has come to know, believe in, trust in Jesus. Although he grew up a Jew, he has now been saved, forgiven of his sin, and looks forward to going to heaven to be with Jesus. Perhaps some of you who were saved this morning remember that day when you were first saved. Do you remember, apart from the joy and the elation, the relief of having your sins forgiven, do you remember how you felt for your family who didn't know him? Do you still feel as strongly as that? Paul feels for his countrymen. He says that in verse 1, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved like me. He longs that they would come to know Jesus like him. But, he says, they're in this first group. They're in this first group of righteousness of my own by the law. He says they're ignorant of and have no concept of the righteousness of God which comes by faith in Jesus. They don't know that righteousness. They have a righteousness of my own, which is by the law. What is this then? Let's talk about it briefly. What is that? What is this righteousness of my own by the law? Well, Paul says the people that are in this group, they're seeking their own righteousness, seeking their own goodness. They want to make themselves good enough in God's sight. They like to think that they can make themselves right with God. They can make themselves good enough for heaven. They can make themselves good enough for heaven. Some sort of righteousness that they want is one that they can call their own. Have you heard this phrase before? A self-made man. Self-made people in this world. I think it was one of the Kardashians, I think, the most wealthy self-made woman in history or something. People who make themselves, they can make their own life. They've come from the sort of the average, and they've just become so great. I mean, think Catherine Zeta-Jones, I think. She grew up in Town Hill in Swansea, of all places. And now look at her. Hollywood, Beverly Hills. She's a self-made woman. And that's what these people are like. They have a righteousness of their own. They've made their own lives for themselves. They think, I can make myself good enough for heaven. And this righteousness of their own, they think, comes by the law. People in this group think that the law is how they can make themselves good enough for heaven, by following the rules. See, Moses gave the Jews this law. We know it, the Ten Commandments, the laws that he gave to in Leviticus, that whole book full of rules. And he gave all these things to the people, and they have used them to try and make their own righteousness by the rules. Now the law, we know, is supposed to highlight to them their sin, but instead they take it and they try to make themselves good by it. Now I wonder, is this starting to sound familiar? Taking the rules that God has written down and thinking, if I follow these, I'll be good enough to go to heaven. People in this group aren't just Jews. People in this group who may be in this room think, I'll keep the Ten Commandments. I can pray myself to heaven. If I read my Bible through in a year, every year. If I go to church, if I follow the dress code. If I behave appropriately, use the right words. If I'm polite, if I pray in the prayer meeting, if I hold office in the church. Thinking that by good obedience to God's word, just obeying the law, can make you good enough for heaven, thinking that eventually it might outweigh the bad in my life. You know, we are all, and I'm including myself in this, we are all prone to this sort of thinking. We're born thinking like it, like I can make myself good enough, like I can be all right, I can make myself good enough in God's eyes. And Paul used to think like it too. He was a Pharisee, and he obeyed all of these rules and extra that they made up to make himself righteous. But the thing is, anyone who knows anything about the law of God, and I think this includes you, knows that this is stupid, really stupid. Keeping the law of God cannot make you righteous. And do you know why? Because it's impossible. You know, Paul knew it, didn't he? He said in our reading this morning, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge, not of righteousness, but the knowledge of sin. You know, Moses knew it. When Moses gave the law in the first place, do you know what happened? He gave the law, he said, keep this and you'll live. Then in the next sentence he says, do you know what? You can't keep it. It's impossible. Joshua, who came after Moses, he came and he said, follow the words of the Lord. You know, worship him. Don't worship anyone else. Just follow him. And the people said, oh, yeah, we'll do that. We'll follow you. We'll follow his law. We won't worship anyone. Do you remember what Joshua said? After calling them to obey the law, he says, you can't obey the law. You can't serve God. And you know what? I dare say that you know this is true as well. Even if you're in this group, even if you think you can make your own righteousness by observing the law, you know that you can't. You know you can't make yourself righteous by following the rules. Because you and I know that we can't help ourselves but sin. You're ashamed of some of the thoughts you've had, even since you've come in here. You've caught yourself looking at things you shouldn't have looked at. You've caught yourself thinking things you shouldn't have thought, when it's too late. Other people have caught you saying things that you shouldn't have said. You know it, and you can't help it. You know, sometimes we like to make our own rules, don't we? When I grew up, there were lots of rules in my house, and I followed them perfectly, I can assure you. Do you have any rules for yourself? You go on a diet. Right. No more chocolate. I'm getting rid of that. No more chocolate until I've lost 3 stone. How long till you're back in Poundland filling the trolley with Terry's chocolate orange for a pound? You make a rule in your house. No shoes upstairs. No. We're just not having it. No shoes upstairs. Do you know what? I am telling you now, the day will come when you will wear shoes upstairs. You know, if you can't follow your own laws, why delude yourself into thinking that we can keep God's laws? We can't do it. That's righteousness of my own, by the law. You know, it's a pipe dream. You know it's a pipe dream. Pie in the sky, not possible to have my own righteousness by the law, which is good enough for heaven. If you're in this group this morning, this is where it leads you, to verse 3 and verse 4, a refusal to submit to the righteousness of God. It says, they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted. Unwilling to submit. What does that mean? Do you ever do that? Do you ever read in your Bibles, and you come to a word and you think, why did he say that word? Why submit? Because submit, it's like give up, isn't it? It's like yield. It's like surrender. So what is it that's coming to these people in this group that they're resisting? Is it some sort of foreign power, some sort of evil? Is it the devil? No. It's God's righteousness is coming up to them. God is bringing to them his righteousness, seeking to impose his perfect, spotless righteousness upon them, and they are resisting it. They say, no, don't want it. Is that you this morning? Has God come to you with his word and with his preaching and in the sermons and in the prayer meeting, come to you in your quiet times? He says, here's my righteousness. I'm going to bring it to you by my son. And you resist it. And you say, no, I want my own righteousness. Don't be ridiculous, you say. Don't be ridiculous. Who would resist such a wonderful thing? Paul's lost his mind. You've lost your mind. Who would resist such a wonderful thing as the perfect righteousness of God? Why would anyone resist this gift of the righteousness of God? Well, the answer is in verse 4. They have not submitted to the righteousness of God. They have not received it. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. That's why these people, they won't submit to the righteousness of God because Jesus ends the law and any righteousness that you think comes with it. Because they won't receive it, they don't submit to it because Jesus is righteousness to all who believe in him. They won't receive it because to receive righteousness of God by faith in Jesus is to acknowledge that I have no righteousness of my own. Nothing at all. There once was a time when all of us were not submitting to the righteousness of God, because to do so is to acknowledge that I am not good enough for heaven. Jesus is good enough for heaven. I am not. And I need him to save me. They won't submit to the righteousness of God because to submit to it is to say that you receive all of your righteousness from him and none from yourself. It's all from him by faith in Jesus. You know, it wasn't long ago that I watched a TV series. One of the best things I've ever seen in my life. And on there was a man who was dying of a disease, an illness that he couldn't afford to treat himself. And an extremely wealthy friend came to this man and he said, I offer to pay for all of your treatment. I will pay for you to have all the treatment you need and you will survive your illness. And you know what this man said? He said, no. He said, no. He couldn't afford the treatment. He was offered it for free and he said no because he was too proud. He preferred his own treatment. He wanted to earn it himself. He didn't want the charity. And of course, this man dies in the end. Is this familiar to you as well? You know, I can't assume anything. It may be that you've never known this. It may be that you've been ignorant of the righteousness of God, as Paul says. That today is the first day that you've realized that you will never be good enough in God's eyes without faith in Jesus Christ. Or may it be that you're yet too proud to submit to the righteousness of God? Whatever your reason is for refusing to submit to the righteousness of God, hear this wonderful news. If you believe in Jesus, if you put your faith in him, if you trust him, then you will receive the righteousness of God, which is perfect. It will be yours, and you can go to heaven if you just believe in him. Now, as we wind down, let's talk about this righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus. Because that's the best bit, isn't it? Something to end on nicely. Verses 5 through 10. Let me ask you this question. How far would you go to earn righteousness, which is good enough for heaven? How far would you go to get heaven for yourself? Would you fast for it? Would you pray on your knees every day for it? Would you go on a pilgrimage? You know, some religions do that, don't they? Hajj and things like that. Would you trek halfway around the world to go to a special place and do some special things if it would get you to heaven? Would you do what Martin Luther did? Would you flog yourself? Climb up a tower on your knees? Would you even go to the stake? Would you be martyred for heaven? How far would you go? Well, Paul says in these verses that it's the deluded sense of self-righteousness, righteousness of my own by the law, that says, do you know what? I would go all the way to heaven if it would mean I could earn my own righteousness. I would go down into the abyss to get my own righteousness. For my own righteousness, I'd go to the ends of the earth. Do you know what? I would do that too. If I knew that I could make my own righteousness, I would. But this is what Paul says. The righteousness of God, which comes by faith in Jesus, says, you don't have to do any of that. You don't have to flog yourself. You don't have to go to the ends of the earth. You don't have to go on pilgrimage. You don't even have to get out of your seat to have the righteousness of God. You needn't obey all these rules and laws that you make for yourself. It's not about church attendance, religious observance. It's not about how many memory verses you can learn. You needn't go to the ends of the earth. Why? Because that which brings you the righteousness of God is already right in front of you. It's right in front of you. It's here. You don't have to get out of your seat. You just have to, it's right here. It's already there. The gospel is already in your mouth. You can recite it. The gospel is already in your ears. You've heard it many times. The gospel's already in your head. You know it. It's already in your hand. Many of you are holding it right now. That righteousness that comes from God by faith in Jesus, it's right in front of you. Although we can't make ourselves good, and rather instead we work ourselves for it, and in so doing we make ourselves more guilty because we keep sinning. Although we have sin and no righteousness of our own, God is so kind that he sends his Son in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ lives on this world a perfect life, earns a perfect spotless righteousness. And on the cross, do you know what happened? Jesus died for our sins. And God punishes him for our guilt. There you are. It's right in front of you. You've just heard it. It's in your hand. You can read it. It's in your ears. It's in your heart. That which brings you righteousness is right in front of you. The righteousness of God, which comes by faith in Jesus, is right there. So what do you need to do? What's left for you to do? There's nothing for you to earn. Jesus has already done everything that is necessary for you to have the righteousness of God for yourself. All that's left for you to do is this. Believe in him. Call upon his name. Believe in him. I hope you don't mind me asking you another question. How long have you come here, filled your head and your ears, your hands with the gospel, but you've yet to believe it? How long have you come here and read the Bible, sung his praises, but you've never believed in him? You've never submitted to the righteousness of God. Allow me to tell you to do it now. Submit to the righteousness of God. Give in. Stop seeking to earn for yourself a righteousness of your own that comes by the law. Stop resisting the righteousness of God and submit to it. Receive it. He's giving it to you as a gift. It's right in front of you. Let me conclude with this. Since righteousness that is good enough for heaven is not our own to be had by the law, since righteousness of God comes by faith in Jesus, then Paul concludes in verse 11, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Since righteousness of God comes by faith in Jesus, not by doing anything, then whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you done that? Is a simple question. And it's not hard to please reflect now. Have you done that? Have you called upon the name of the Lord so that you shall be saved? If you're not sure, do it now. There was an Italian writer who wrote a book called Dante's Inferno, where he wrote about hell. And he said that above the gates of hell there's an inscription that says, abandon hope, all ye who enter here. You've heard that phrase before? I think something similar could be written above the front door of any church. Don't misunderstand me now. Abandon all hope of any self-righteousness all ye who enter here. Abandon it. Are you holding on to that now? Righteousness of my own, which comes by the law. Abandon it. It is useless. It is impossible. Run instead into the arms of Jesus Christ, who says, come to me, and I will give you my righteousness, a perfect righteousness. Receive it. The only righteousness that can ever make us fit for heaven is a righteousness which is of God, a perfect righteousness. And there's only one way to have it. Believe in Jesus. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved.